Chapter 12, Re-entry. Once a prisoner has about 90 days remaining on their sentence, they will begin re-entry programming. This programming is meant to provide the prisoner with information on the available resources in their county of residence. Throughout the course of this 3-month period, the prisoner will attend various workshops sponsored by government or community-based organizations. The health department will come to the prison to give a presentation on STDs. The Social Security Department will give a presentation on obtaining a Social Security card and benefits. The Department of Job and Family Services will explain how to sign up for food stamps. Depending on the institution, there will be many other organizations that will be scheduled on different days during this 90-day calendar period. Around 2014, the Ohio Department of Corrections designated certain institutions to have reintegration housing units in an effort to better prepare those prisoners that would be returning to society in under a year. Although it's a great concept, this specialized programming has yet to cause a reduction in the recidivism rate. The reason being, there's usually a waiting list of prisoners that want to be housed in these entry units. Then some of the requirements to be considered aren't in favor of those prisoners who have received disciplinary judgments for breaking one of the many rule infractions. At the end of the day, these prisoners are still going to be returning to society. All prisoners need to partake in the necessary programming that will aid productive living. These institutional policies of exclusion from specialized reentry programming is another discriminatory practice that shouldn't be allowed to take place. Reentry programming, no matter the capacity, is funded by the taxpayers. I believe that if the reentry programming process consisted of a more streamlined process, then taxpayers would be satisfied with the overall results. Any prisoner that will be leaving prison on parole or probation under the supervision of the adult parole authority will be subjected to a streamlined process. This process is to ensure that the prisoner enters the initial steps of community control properly. They will know who they will be reporting to and what time to be there. Prior to all of this, they will have given their case manager 3 addresses in order for their community control supervisor to approve an address where they can reside during the duration of their time on parole or probation. Everything is streamlined, so there's no misunderstandings about what's expected. If the Department of Corrections were to streamline the reentry programming process consisting of institutional and community-based resources, the recidivism rate would drop significantly. If a prisoner has to go to various pre-scheduled community resources based on this individual's needs, which has been assessed by an institutional case manager as a part of the conditions of community control, they will actually utilize the tools that will keep them out of prison. Individuals that are required to reside at halfway houses upon the completion of their prison sentence are given a streamlined reentry agenda by their halfway house case manager. This is a system that has been tried, tested, and proven to work. When a case manager talks to a returning citizen about their needs and the shortcomings of the past, this provides them with the necessary information to provide the returning citizen with a plan to aid them in reintegrating into the community. Sure, there are individuals who won't stay on the right track, even with these additional measures. That's a fact of life. But if these measures were enacted within the Department of Corrections, it would restore the rehabilitation process in the prison system. Another issue that needs to be addressed at the government level is the lack of regulations for nonprofit organizations that offer reentry services to returning citizens. The problem is there are a lot of people who start nonprofit reentry programs under the guise of obtaining federal grant dollars and donations. In many instances, these funds are misappropriated by the nonprofit staff, and the returning citizens are robbed of time by pursuing services behind false promises. This makes the nonprofits that truly help returning citizens through their services look bad as well. I've personally experienced being taken advantage of by a few of these unscrupulous nonprofit organizations. One organization was told that if I had completed their 6-week job readiness program, that they would help me gain employment. Every Wednesday, for 2 hours, I faithfully attended these classes for 6 weeks. After completing this job readiness program, I was asked to meet with the class instructor. Upon my arrival, I was given a certificate of completion and a list of companies that supposedly employ ex-offenders. I was then told that if I was able to secure an interview, call if I needed a reference. How crazy is that? When I first contacted this individual and asked about the job readiness program, I was told if I complete the program, I would receive employment assistance. How is providing me with a packet of employers that your nonprofit doesn't even communicate with going to help me in any way? To add insult to injury, every employer that was listed in that packet wasn't hiring during the time I had contacted them. Then there was another nonprofit organization that was receiving a lot of press in the newspaper. The organization was started by an ex-offender who had a vision of providing returning citizens employment while training them on how to rehab blighted houses. After having a discussion with one of my childhood friends who was also a returning citizen, we had decided to go together to inquire about this program. Once we'd arrived there, the nonprofit's headquarters secretary gave us applications to fill out. Upon completion, we were told that one of the instructors would speak to us shortly. After receiving our applications, we were given a tour of the facility and told more about the program. The instructor then told us that we would be contacted to work on the next house the program would be rehabbing within the next 2 weeks. We were given a phone number to one of the other instructors that was training a few ex-offenders who had been working on a house not too far away. I'd called the instructor to see if we could come check out the house, and he responded with the address. Prior to making the trip to this location, one of our mutual friends, who was a returning citizen as well, called me. He had also put in an application for this program. The three of us met up at the house where the instructor was. The house was totally gutted inside, and there were a few people working on various carpentry tasks. Everything appeared to be in order. After asking the instructor a few questions, he assured us that we would receive a phone call in the upcoming week. When the time came, none of us were contacted. We all called the instructors to see what was going on, and we were assured that we would receive a call the following week. Once again, we received no call. After leaving a few messages on their voicemail, we were asked to come to the facility to speak to another instructor. Once we arrived, the instructor took us into one of the classrooms and told us that he's willing to train us, but it would probably be in our best interest to try to find a real job. He went on to explain that they usually utilize individuals who had drug addictions as workers for their program, which allowed them to pay the minimum wage. They would give these individuals mostly food and clothing instead of wages while still providing them with training. The instructor told us that they knew that wouldn't be a viable option for us. That's why we hadn't been called for the program. A few years later, this nonprofit organization got into some legal trouble behind a lot of the unethical and illegal things they were accused of by program participants. I believe during the years that have passed since these experiences, the landscape of reentry-based nonprofits have changed dramatically for the good. Yet, still, there are organizations that are just out to make a quick buck at the returning citizen expense. By ex-offenders being a segment of the population that is viewed in a negative light due to the labels like the word felon being attached to their name, there will always be people attempting to scam these individuals. It's just an effort to further demoralize and rob returning citizens of the opportunity to establish a solid foundation that will allow them to get their life back on track. In no form or fashion should these types of organizations be able to hide under the veil of being a reentry component of the criminal justice system. These organizations are nothing but an injustice to the people they fail to serve. As the push for prison reform gains traction, society will need more reputable organizations to establish programming for returning citizens in need of help.